And we want to look at it from a biblical perspective in prayer. And there's a lot of areas. We can talk about the discipline of prayer. Probably we'll talk about that, make an entire sermon just on that. But all through the Bible of the difference that prayer made, and prayer does make a difference. The Bible tells us sincere, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much, and certainly it does. We see all through the book of Acts where God, the church prayed in times of duress, the power of God came down. And when they needed deliverance, they prayed, and not just in the New Testament, Old Testament, we can see where God answered David, and God moved, and in many different occasions in the life of Abraham. We can look at Jacob and see where God answered in prayer in his life, and many others. We can spend a lot of time just running that down, how God answers prayer. But I want to speak just a little bit tonight on praying in the Holy Ghost. In Jude chapter 20, you got Jude chapter 20, you got the wrong kind of Bible. Just throw it in the trash on the way out. And I'll help you find a good Bible when you leave here, okay? Jude 20, the Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves and on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." But notice this, speaks to the beloved, the saved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. And I pray that you would help us as we look at just this thought of praying in the Holy Ghost. Help us, God, to pay attention. God, help us to realize the importance of prayer, the importance of God, of being sincere and leaning upon you, and God trusting that you can work matters out, that you can solve things that we have no fix for, no remedy for, that we're powerless to perform. And even when we don't understand, we can still yet pray, and you understand, God, what's in our heart, what's in our mind. And I pray that you would bless this message. God, may it be an encouragement to us to be reminded that we need to be a people of prayer, not a people of religious ritual. We need to be a people of prayer, not just a people who show up at church and go through the motions. God, we need real and genuine Christianity in our lives at home. And God, as we live in this world, we face enemies that are real, that are adverse to what we are wanting to accomplish, what we're wanting to be, and just trying to honor you. God, we face spiritual wickedness in high places, and God, we need to understand the importance of prayer. Prayer is the key that gives us victory. Father, we're thankful that we can come to you tonight, and Lord, we expect you to speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe prayer is the powerhouse of God. There's no Christian that's better. You're not going to be much without a prayer life. Let me just say this. If you don't have much of a prayer life, you're not going to be much of a Christian. And you're no better than your prayer life. And so I say this, we need to learn to pray. Jude says something interesting. He says that, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith. Well, we certainly should be studying and trying to build and understand doctrine and understand truth and have some foundational things. But we build on our holy faith. And one of the ways that we do this is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, what the Holy Spirit supervises, He empowers. Think about that. If He is supervising your prayers, He empowers those prayers. I like that thought. I think Dr. Dennis Corll said that. And there's a lot of truth to that. And that's why we need to be in tune with God when we pray. Now, the charismatics have jumped all over this verse today, and they talk about prayer languages. They talk about speaking a language the devil can't understand and praying in the Holy Ghost. This is speaking in tongues. that this is not what it's talking about. No hint of this anywhere in scriptures, and I'm not going to chase the whole tongue issue down tonight. That's another sermon. But I'll tell you, I believe it's more of a miracle of the ear than it was a miracle of the lips. And we find here that when he speaks of the Holy Ghost, I don't think he's talking the Holy Ghost like modern charismatics. And the idea that you see people rolling around on the floor barking like a dog, the Holy Spirit's not in that. Somebody's howling. There might be some spirit involved with that, but it's not the Holy Ghost. And if somebody is speaking in gibberish or talking, dancing around ecstatically and just erotically, I'm sorry. That I don't care what your experience are. I don't care what your feelings are. Your experience, your emotions, your feelings are not a gauge of faith. That is not what happened on Pentecost. In Pentecost, people say, what was the great thing about Pentecost? It wasn't they spoke in tongues. It was the souls that was saved. Church was empowered, and they preached, and people got saved. Man, I want to tell you, that's what the endowment from power. They were to wait until they were endued with power, that they may preach, and their preaching may be effective. And so, looking from the Bible, I just see that. It's not something that's uncontrolled. But the Bible, it says, but ye, beloved, building on yourselves the most holy faith. I believe here's what we're to do. We're to build. We're to do that by study and being disciples and being around others and teaching and learning about our faith and what the Bible says. And listen, that's a great thing. It's one, we've got lazy in our culture today. We don't want to think for ourselves. We want somebody else to think for us. We ought to think. You can't build up your faith without studying and reading. And so, but how do you do it? You yield. You build and you yield to the Spirit of God. Now you say, how do you do that? Well, I think one of the best places to look is Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. You study the book of Romans, and it's not a book about the Holy Spirit. I mean, you go through Romans, and I don't know how many times I used to could have told you, but I got to think about that before I got up here to preach. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's really even mentioned to this chapter. Maybe it is. Maybe wrong. I'd have to go back and read. But I do know this, just quickly looking through Romans chapter 8 with almost not a mention of the Holy Spirit, or if it is, very few times, suddenly to come to chapter number 8 and 19 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So surely within this chapter we can learn something about our relationship to God and the relationship of the Holy Spirit with us. Because there's therefore now no condemnation to those that's in Christ. So that speaks of us being saved. But then it moves on and speaks of the very fact that how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And it talks about the conflict of the flesh and of the spirit. It talks about the carnal mind is enmity with God. And so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, I mean, so it goes through dealing with this whole subject over and over and over again. Now when you come to verse 26 and verse 27, that's what I want us to get to. The Bible in verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Notice that word infirmities right there. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now notice the word groanings. Two things that really jump out when you say this verse is infirmities and groanings, which cannot be uttered. And sometimes that is used as a proof text of those that want to speak in some type of gibberish. But again, I'll deal with that. It says, he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, let me just say a couple things here. Now, when he speaks of, in verse number 26, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now, that's not talking about me having a cold. It's not talking about me having some sickness. But the Spirit of God helps us when we pray. How does He do that? Well, it speaks of our infirmities or our weaknesses or want of strength. In other words, He helps us in our inabilities to produce. Think about that. Our inabilities to produce. There ought to be some things that you're praying about in your life that is beyond your abilities to fix. There ought to be some things that we're praying about that is beyond our capabilities to perform. And when he says that we are praying right for our infirmities, or that we pray helpeth our infirmities. Let me tell you, when he says pray in the Holy Ghost, when we get in touch with God, when we're sincere of heart and we've got a clean heart and we're approaching God, may I say to you, it's the Spirit of God through our prayers that works, and we're able to accomplish things that we could not accomplish by ourselves, because the Spirit of God helps us with our lack of want or lack of ability to perform. You got somebody in your family that's lost, you can't save them, you can't convince them. You know what you can do? You can earnestly pray in the Spirit of God that God save them, because He has the ability to save. You have someone sick, you pray, you can't heal them. The doctor really can't heal them, but you can pray in the Spirit of God that God would touch them, and that they would perform and work in their life. You have someone that's backslid, cold and indifferent, stuck, hung up in sin. What we need to do is not try to be logical or reasonable with them, but rather pray for them in the Holy Ghost. And pray. Why? Because, you see, we can't produce results and fruit in their life. But let me tell you, if God gets after somebody, He can change that individual. He has the ability to change them from the inside out. And so there's a myriad of things that's beyond Brother Grant's abilities, but it's never beyond God's abilities. So He is there, the Bible says. So likewise, the Spirit helpeth that we're in our infirmities, or their inability to produce results. Now He says, we know not what, the Bible says here. Now think about that. We know not what. It says, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. Have you ever got to a place and you're praying for somebody, you don't even know exactly what to say, but it's burden upon your heart, right? I mean, it bothers you. You don't know what to say, and you don't really know. How do I even say this? You know what? God understands. You may not have to verbalize it, and you can be honest with God, I don't even really know how to say this. You see, we know the problem, but we don't know how the answer should come or what the answer might exactly be, but we're praying, God, fix this. God, move upon this. We don't even know ought or how we should pray. But I tell you one thing we should do. We should pray, because the Holy Spirit of God is the one who is able to produce results in our lives. Now, let me move back just a little bit and farther in this verse here, but because it says that, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. I believe that the Holy Spirit empowers our prayers. I believe we got one. The Bible tells us in this chapter that is sitting there making intercession for the saints. He is there making intercession for us right there. And so it says that in verse 31 through 36 or through 37, we know that we are more than conquerors through Him. We know that Satan may want to accuse us, but listen, it doesn't matter. We know exactly, it's God that justifies. Who is it condemned? It is Christ that died, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God doing what? Making intercession for us. So He's listening to our prayers. The Holy Spirit is a means, when we're in tune with God the way we ought to be, I believe that we make intercession right to the throne room of God. In fact, the Bible says that we ought to come boldly before the throne of grace. That means courageously we ought to bring our prayers there. Why? Because we may not have power, but the Holy Spirit certainly has power. I want to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit hadn't got a hold of you, you'd never been saved. I don't care how wicked somebody is, they could have heard the best preaching in the world, but unless the Holy Spirit got involved, they wouldn't have got saved. I don't care. Listen, I don't care how far someone backslid. Unless the Holy Spirit convicts their heart, they're not going to come back and say, oh God, I know I have sinned, I have messed up, I've been rotten and vile, and that the Holy Spirit is the one that condemns us. He's the one that exposes us. He's the light that shines upon our sin. So we see that He goes on and says that not only should we do this, but the Spirit shall make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So infirmity is my inability to produce results, but it says that we are to pray how what? With groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, that doesn't mean that I speak simata, simitamata, shalamaka, sioba, speaking in tongues, right? Man, I've read a bunch of charismatic books, okay? A bunch. And some of you are about ready to jump up and prophesy or something, okay? If somebody wants to interpret that, I'd really be interested in listening to you, okay? Because I'm going to make fun of you later. Not, but there's no making fun of that. Listen, that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about that none whatsoever. But when he's talking about groanings. Now let me just speak of something. If I go and lift weights and I squat, and say I go and start off, all right, I'm not going to go heavy, but decide I go I want to go heavier for me. And say I squat a little bit of weight, more than I'm used to. You know what, the next day, I have a hard time getting up and out of the couch. Every step I take, I'm like, oh gosh, this hurts. Just like, come here, do I really have to get up? Well, I'm groaning. And sometimes it seems like when I get out of bed in the morning, I groan more every step, everywhere I go. I just, oh, just like, man, you growl all the time. I'm like, well, just leave me alone. I'll get loosened up here in a minute. And how many of you know what groaning is? You know why you groan? Because you hurt somewhere, right? Pretty simple. If you stubbed a finger, smash that finger with a hammer, every time you bump it, you're like, ah! You groan, it hurts. Now let me just tell you a secret. I smash my thumb, and I bump it, and I go, ah! Herbert looks at me, he's like, I didn't feel a thing. Right? He didn't feel a thing. Why? Because groanings is something that's personal. Right? It's personal. Now, I want you to get this idea. It's personal interest that somebody else, listen, that's natural for me to groan about things that bother me. That's true. But now, when we're talking about groaning here, it's not talking about things that bother me. It's talking about things that are affecting other people. Think about this. That's spiritual. It's natural for me to groan when I have to get up the next day after lifting squats, or I've worked too hard doing something and I'm sore. But it's another thing for me to groan because I know that somebody in the church is hurting, and I think, man, that's a terrible situation for them to be in. And it just stays with you, and you almost groan from within. I got a call from a church member a while back, and he just told me, he said, man, I am so troubled. It has bothered me all day about this person's situation, and if someone dealing with sickness. He said, I thought about it, so I'm about sick. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, man, it sounds like to me you're doing the thing God wants you to do. Are you praying? Yeah, I'm praying for him. Well, good. I think that's what Romans 8 is talking about, because he says that with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, it's not some natural pain that I'm feeling, but it's some pain someone else is feeling, or a need that is in an individual's life, or a spiritual need within our community or nation, or something within our church. Listen to me. What motivates us? Is it the spiritual? Is it the carnal? Now let's be honest. What motivates most people, even when it comes to mission work, is not, now don't get mad at me, it's not necessarily when we think of the people in that country that's lost on the way to hell. You know what most time motivates people in America? Brother Price always said this, and it's biblical, the heart or the eye affects the heart. What motivates us, sometimes we look and say, look how poor them people are. Look how difficult those people have it. Look at them. They got dirt floors. They don't have electricity. They don't have this, they don't have that. And what do? We feel bad for them. Why? Because naturally, we can identify with that. Right? But what it's talking about here is not necessarily identifying and groaning for someone over a physical need, but their spiritual needs. Let me tell you what really ought to motivate us more than anything in this world. Whether it's in Belize, what they don't have, or Turkana, it's not about what they don't have. What they really don't have is the gospel and the truth. The need of salvation. That is the greatest need around the world, above everything. And what we need to groan for is their need of salvation and not knowing Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. We make intercession. Yes, we do. Why? The truth is that it helps our infirmity. There's things we have no power to do. Listen, I got news for you. We cannot feed everybody in third world countries or developing countries, as they like to call it this day and age, politically correct. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can pray the gospel goes to them. Because when it comes down to it, you can lose everything you have. But if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. And the Bible says this, what should we do? So what should motivate us? We should have groanings, I believe. We may not understand them. We may not be able to articulate them in word. We know that there is a need. But let me just tell you something. We may not even have the power to do anything about it. But when we're praying in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is laid on our heart and we sincerely pour our heart out to God, He helped make His intercession with us groanings which cannot be uttered. We may not even understand what we got to say. And it says, He searches the hearts. He knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I want to tell you something. We do have something that can produce results. But the problem is, oftentimes what motivates us is not the right things. Brother Grant included. I need to be motivated not because of my hurts and just things I can identify with, but I need to be motivated because of someone else's sorrow, someone else's hurt, and someone else's spiritual needs. When we can pray that way, that's when we can unleash heaven's power on our prayers. And I want to challenge you tonight to be a people that prays in the Holy Ghost.